Hey, I'm Steve. I'm an addict.
Hey, Steve.
So I tell his definition of hell is being. I came up with this, but it's being strapped to the hood of a car in the middle of Manhattan while there's a Lil Wayne record playing really loud, and we don't have to live like that anymore. But that motivates him. My definition of hell is at the end of my life watching the man that I had become having to shake hands with the guy that I could have been. And I don't like thinking about that. So I want to start off by saying, you know, if you're new, welcome. If this is your first time at this convention, welcome. It's a big deal. It was my first one too. Tonight's going to be a big deal. And this convention, you know how much society owes us for this? Do you know how many crimes are going to not be committed tonight because we're all fucking like hanging out? Especially Odell, you fucking criminal. Thank God you're here. You belong here, you sick bastard. All right. But I want to start out by saying that I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have crack cocaine syndrome or heroinitis. I don't have a drug problem right now, and I've never had one. Our literature says that it is a symptom of the disease that we suffer from. And the easy part about that for me to understand is that if drugs were the problem, then when they left, my problem should have gone with them. But when the drugs were gone, I saw what the hell was really going on. And I had to feel it. I came here by way of the federal government. I had graduated in my criminal career. It used to say the state of Maryland versus Stephen Hall, but then I stepped it up and it was the United States. And I was just like, fucking. I was like, man, you're fucking doing something with your life. And you're fucking. But so, yeah, I was on federal pretrial for, I don't know, like a year and a half. And they had me on methadone. And I was a fucking zombie. And they kept trying to help me. I didn't see that now. I mean, I didn't see that then, but I see it now that they were trying to, you know, step in. Because, I mean, once again, it was one more person in my story that saw something in me when I couldn't see it in myself. And even the federal judge was like, there's something about him, you know, that's cool. And so I came, I kept coming, I had court. They put me in treatment for 7 days to leak the methadone out of my system. If anyone's ever gone through that, you know that the withdrawal doesn't even start until like day 14. And you keep thinking you're over it, but it just keeps stepping up. And so every time I had a court date in the first couple months I got clean, I was conveniently in the hospital. That's like the ultimate pass to get out of court. It's just fake a seizure and you go to the fucking hospital. I mean, what's the judge going to say? Like, you know, it's the ultimate doctor's note. And so in the time of manipulating my freedom, because I thought I was going to prison, man, for a long time. It was some serious shit. You know, I got caught on that Bowels of Hell Road, and that's a federal thoroughfare. So you get caught, you know, park. Anytime park police, you graduate. You fucking United States versus you. If you want to feel important, go get arrested in federal property. And that letter will come. It's scary, but there is a piece of your mind that just says, fuck yeah. I came, and I was scheduling these hospital appointments, but what was happening in between it was I was coming to these meetings. Right, so the very first time I heard a message here, I was in treatment, that methadone was leaking out of my body, but this guy came in, and his name was Barney, and his last name was Carroll. And I'll say that he carried the first message to me, and we just buried him 2 weeks ago. And that's the cycle that, you know, James was talking about. And I kept coming, and the message he carried to me, it wasn't about drugs. It had nothing to do with that. He said he remembered being 8 years old and being around the family dinner table and the shitty uncle in the family who had gotten arrested one more time. And he remembered the whole family instantly unifying and coming together to go save him from jail. And he said he remembered being jealous of the attention that this guy was getting from the family. And, you know, and I was just like, that has nothing to do with drugs, but I can relate to thinking that way. I can relate to thinking, damn, that's how, look how he got attention. And then I read our self-acceptance pamphlet when I got home. And it didn't talk much about drugs either. IP number 19, it's pink. Please pick it up, even if you think you're tough. But that talked about rejecting others before they had the chance to reject us and learning to look inward for the source of our discomfort and all those things. And it floored me, and I knew I was home in that moment. I didn't know how home I was, but I knew I had knocked on the door for the first time in my life. So I kept coming, and, you know, I was really fiery. I've mellowed out a little. In the last, this is year 7 for me. I'm still a newcomer, and I always want to be one. Always. I always want to be new. I mean, in the beginning, I used to say, you know, like, I mean, there's so many people from home here in this room, you know. Shout out to Central Maryland. But they saw me. There's so many of you that saw me walk in the door. And I would say shit, you know, like, with 3 days clean, I would say shit. Like, they were like, if there's anyone new to Narcotics Anonymous or new to this meeting, please raise your hand. And, like, my name is Steve, I'm an addict, and I'm new to this meeting. Because I couldn't be new. I had to let you guys know that I had been around for a while. You know what I mean? I had some shit to say, and I hadn't. And I don't say that anymore. I'm just new, Cole. Hell yeah. So I kept coming, and I started to hear this message, man, and there was a piece of me that started to wake up. And day 59, day 60, the federal government had gotten tired of me ducking these court dates. So they said, listen, if you don't show up to court on this day, then you're done. And you're not even going to have a trial. So the night before, court was on a Monday, Friday night in Laurel, Maryland, I raised my hand and I said, listen, my name is Steve. I'm an addict and I'm going to court Monday morning. I'm going to prison for a long time. But thank you. Because at that point, the methadone was gone. I had gotten my first good night of sleep in a long time, a couple days before that. And I was still crazy. Like I said, Postman Bruce asked me to close the meeting one night. And like, it was an honor. You know, like, the speaker is like, hey, you want to close the meeting? It was a fucking honor. And so, like, we were in this big ass circle. And I was just like, hey, yo. I just started, check this out, moment of silence, right? Yo, we rose when you told us we couldn't and stood our ground, look around. I dropped 60 bars in the fucking right there. You remember that shit? Yeah. And what it really was rejecting others before they had a chance to reject us. What it really was that innate fear that said, when you guys say keep coming back, you're not talking to me. That there was going to be a group conscience after this meeting, and you guys were all going to approach me as a group and say, stop coming here. You're too sick for us. And that's the self-centeredness in the core. Self-centeredness isn't, I have all these things and you can't have any. That's selfishness. Self-centeredness is, I'm thinking about what you're thinking about me, and I'm thinking that it's not so good. It's anytime we have a movie in our mind where we're playing one of the roles. And in my movies, I'm usually the star of the fucking show. Right? So I kept coming, man, and I raised my hand in this meeting. I said, thank you. And so many of the people, listen, if you're from Central Maryland, you saw me walk in here, man, you saved my fucking life. Thank you. I love you. Even if I hated some of you in the beginning. Yeah, you. You're the best. This motherfucker let me borrow a $2,500 guitar when I had like 3 days clean. It meant a lot to me, Jim. I appreciate it. So I raised my fucking hand and I said this, and this guy came up to me after the meeting and he said, what time is court? And I hadn't recently come from a way of life where people were doing things for each other without strings attached. There was always. I mean, the first time I was in Boys Village when I was 14 years old, I was fucking crying, you know, in the bullpen in Cheltenham, and this big dude came up to me, and he's like, he was from Baltimore. I'm going to try the accent. He's like, yo, what's up, yo, you all right, yo? And I was like, no, motherfucker, I'm in the bullpen, and my mom just signed me over to the state. And he's like, look, yo, take this Newport 100, yo, and this striker in this match. Is anyone from Baltimore? Did I do that good? No. Fucking terrible. Yeah. So I'll work on that one. But and he gave me a cigarette and a striker and a match. And in my head, see, I'm from Greenbelt, but he asked me where I was from, and I said Greenbelt, and he thought I said Green Mount. And so all of a sudden I had street cred in Boys Village. They were like, hey, yeah, he's from Greenmount. So he gave me this thing, and guess what? I thought it was free. I thought that somebody in there was going to be like, cool, until he came 3 days later to collect his payment. And so this guy came up to me afterwards, and he said this, and I was like, come on, man. Really? Here too? Anyway, I said yes. He picked me up, and he took me to court. Federal courthouse, Cherrywood Lane in Greenbelt. We walked in, and so we walked up, you know, the aisle. It's like the worst kind of marriage ever. Like, when you fucking, like me and him are walking up the fucking aisle, and it's just like, fuck. And so we're walking, and he, you know, fucking tattooed from head to toe. I'm trying to be like him. I'm working on it. And, you know, we walked up, and the lady from the front came around the side, and she walked right towards me down the aisle, looked at me for 1 second, and then walked to him and grabbed him and took him into the fucking room in the front where you walk in and closed the door. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, I have evaded court so many times that the federal government planted an agent within Narcotics Anonymous to escort me to court to make sure that I got there. And that played into the part of my brain that said, yo, you graduated. Like, these motherfuckers. So the lady walked out of the room and walked right to the front and said, and called my case immediately. And she said, Your Honor, the United States would like to dismiss all charges against Stephen Hall right now. And he hit the hammer, and we turned around and walked the fuck out. I mean, this, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, look.
It gives, what I had to do in that room.
Right. She was not attractive. Took one for the team. You want to know what happened in that room? You want to know what happened?
Yes.
She pulled him aside and said, Are you from Narcotics Anonymous? And he said, Absolutely. And she said, I knew it, because as soon as I saw him, I knew that you guys had finally gotten a hold of him. We've been trying to send him to you for almost 2 years. My son used to be one of you. He had 3 years clean, and he took his will back and died. I'm going to give him another shot. And we walked out of there that day. And he's been my sponsor since then. Let me tell you something. If a motherfucker comes into your life and walks into court with you and they dismiss all kinds of crazy shit like that, don't let them leave. Fucking hold on to them, please. You saved my life. You've taught me how to walk this way when I didn't even have the ability to put my legs underneath me. Thank you. Taught me how to become a man I never thought I could be. And a father, and a sponsor, and a son. Guess what? We don't learn to walk anything until someone holds our hand and teaches us how they did it. And all my predecessors here, they paved the path for me to come and walk. Thank God. We identify a problem here. But you know what the cool thing about having a common problem is? Is that there's also a common solution. And I didn't have to sit here and figure out how to fix me. And carrying the pressure that my whole life, thinking that you don't know what's wrong with me, not only that, but you are definitely not going to know anything about how to fix me once I figure that shit out. There's freedom here. But thank you. You're everything I ever want to be. I love you too. My wife recently said I cry too much, so I'm trying to hold it in. It's like, you cry more than anyone I know. And it's cool, it's intimate, like when it's just me and her, but we went out to dinner with some fucking friends. And like, and my friend's wife or girlfriend got drunk. And so she started fucking roasting me about crying. And I was like, and then the mask came back out. yo, do you know who the fuck you're talking to? Like, I got tears in my eyes, so like, hold me while I cry. Like, you know what I mean? Just trying to be fucking tough. But anyway, welcome to the zombie film in reverse. We stumble in here, not knowing who the hell we are, brainless, scratching ourselves, just wandering around aimlessly without a soul, and gradually, we come to life. Gradually, we come from having to amble around without much dexterity to becoming responsible and productive members of that society. We learn so many things here. And I can point to the car and the house and the few degrees and all those things. But what I really want to point to are the relationships, not only with the people here, you know, but the relationship I have with this thing that I call God that was a paradox when I came. Fuck God. I don't believe in God. Make your fucking mind up, bro. You can't hate something that doesn't exist, right? Furthermore, I don't know anything about me, but fuck me. We are a breed of people that lie to ourselves, believe that lie, and forget it was ever a lie in the first place. And we wash up here on the shore and we don't know anything about ourselves except that I fucking hate me. And my feelings start to come back and they don't take numbers like the NBA. They all come back at once. And I don't know what to do. And my appetite returns. And my penis works again. And I'm very confused about what to do. So I eat while I have sex with someone I'm not attracted to. Hopefully of the opposite gender. Let me say this, if you're not laughing in your recovery process, you're doing something wrong. I wouldn't have stayed here if Narcotics Anonymous was one long string of bodies with sermons in between them. I got a smile on my heart. I love the world I live in. I love being a part of this whole thing. I'm a daddy. I got a single parent set of tools. Her name is Ramona. She's almost 3 years old, and she's the definition of what unconditional love is on the inside of me. So walk it till you learn to live it. I wanted to talk about how I got here, you know, and all that other shit. So I could express the gratitude, because a grateful addict will never use. And if I don't have the opportunity to sit up here and thank the man that was like the biggest tool of God in my life, and it's still the strongest conduit to God that I have. And my sponsor, you know, James sponsors me in a way that pisses me off sometimes. Because sometimes I just want to say, tell me what to do. I know we don't work like that, but I don't give a shit. This one hurts. Tell me what to do, what to say. I want the guidance. And he doesn't step into that role. He says, Steve, I don't know the answer. And I know you don't. But I know who does. Motherfucker. So I pray. And he taught me how to pray. I mean, that's what it is. He taught me, man. The most powerful prayer I have is, God, what questions do you want me to ask you? He taught me that. I mean, yeah, you said it earlier. I don't give God direction anymore. Who am I? I feel shame in the face of God all the time. Like the thing that carried me this far did so to walk away now. What? Best thing my sponsor says to me is, you're just getting started. Yeah. So are you. And guess what? He says that to me in my lowest moments and my highest ones. Because it makes the shitty time hopeful, and it makes the best moments of my life even that much better. If you think this is good, you're just getting started. You know what he also says in the lowest and highest moments of my life? This too shall pass. James, I'm so fucking excited. I love this shit. It's awesome living this way. I can't believe how I feel right now. He's like, Steve, this too shall pass. God damn it. But yeah, we've been through, you know, we've been through a lot together. So I want to talk about, I'm aware, I want to talk about how we have a certain set of steps, but how the goal of this is to incorporate them into the steps that we take every single day. And, you know, the spiritual principles, my sponsor already said it all, the spiritual principles are what separates us from the people that we no longer want to be, and practicing them in all our affairs. And the cool thing about spiritual principles, like my wife, she just organically knows how to be a spiritually based person. She's come. Our first conversation, she said, I wish the world would understand that they waste their entire lives trying to fix internal wounds with external solutions. What? Do you know how long it took me to be able to fucking understand something like that? I fucked up. I gave her our literature because she's really open-minded. And she'll hit me with shit like, Steven, the masks have to go. it's gonna be a nice ride. But they're the things that give us that distance, man. And I've taken a lot of steps. I've done the work, but I've also, like, you know, come so far away from who I wanted to be, and it's really been a cool ride. So yesterday was a special day. Yesterday was April 21st, right? Yeah, April 21st of 2017. April 21st of 2016, I weighed almost 300 pounds. Yes, I know it's hard to believe that this fucking Greek god in front of you. Just made that heavy. I'm this, oh, motherfucker. The Hope Killers from Central Maryland. So I'm a artist, musician, creative shit. And my art took me around the world. And I found myself, I had to go perform in London. And I found myself, like, not liking London because it was like a diet New York City. It's like I went to this new fucking country and I'm just walking through London. It's like Modell's, Burger King, Five Guys. I'm like, come on, man, what the fuck is this shit? I came to a new country to experience yours. I worked on my fucking accent and this is just New York City. So I rented a little Audi and me and my buddy, we just started driving around the country. And I saw God. And I saw so many awesome things. And I was hiking through fucking castles. And the Game of Thrones theme song was just in my head. It was cool. I don't know about you. I lived under the BW Parkway in a tunnel. Now I'm in fucking England. So I'm almost 300 pounds. And I'm trying to hike through this fucking castle. And I get to the top of this staircase in one of the towers. And I can't fucking breathe. I can't fucking breathe. Something about, like, the Dark Ages, their steps were that high. That's right. You know what I'm saying? So this shit was a challenge. But I got to it, you know, and my best friend, he's another one. He's just like her. They're just organic. Like, whatever they did brought them to be good people. Without, you know, and not that we're not when we come here, right? But we got to earn it because we missed that day in school where they talked about honesty. Where they talked about compassion. I skipped that day. And he walked up to me, not in the program, and I was that's exactly how I was sitting. Just like that, but I was breathing a lot harder. Or trying to. And he came up to me and he hit me on the head. He said, why don't you stop feeling sorry for yourself and do something about it? Because this old lady walked by me, old British lady, and she was like, are you all right? You need an ambulance. And I was like, fuck! Thanks, Gertrude. So I came home, and the pain had gotten great enough. And I got some of those, the shoes John has on, Flyknits. I've always been good at buying the gear. I got a whole CrossFit outfit, never been worn. If you want it, talk to me. I'll give you a good price. Tags are still on it. But I did the research, right? Because that's what we do. Because one of the principles is humility, which is, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. Right? So thank God for Google, because I didn't have to, like, fucking, you know, walk up to a skinny person and be like, hey, fucking help me. But I bought some Nikes, and I got some custom insoles because my feet hurt, my shin splints. And I started eating a diet called Paleo. And I got this app called Couch to 5K, which is this gradual running program. And I was too ashamed to, like, run in public. I'm not crying. I'm holding it in. Fuck. And can anyone else relate to trying to be tough to impress a woman? So I ran around the tennis court across the street from my house at midnight every night. I couldn't run. 32-year-old man, I couldn't run for 20 seconds when I started. 20 seconds. And I was dialing 911 on my phone, but just not pressing send. Yeah. Because I you know, when I fucking pass out, all I gotta do is press the green button and they'll hear me gasping and they'll fucking hopefully locate me. So I don't die. And it sucked. And I had to come back the next day. What I didn't do was stop. And this program, it gradually helped me increase my time. And the thing said, it said, don't worry about how fast you're going. Just make sure you don't stop. And I can relate to that, because I learned that here. A clean day is a successful day no matter what happens. Keep pushing. Right? So I learned that here. And I learned what commitment and perseverance were. And, you know, so look. Long story short, man, 10 weeks later, I ran a 5K in 20 minutes. And I weigh 160 pounds right now. And, yeah. No AIDS, no crack. Meat, vegetables, and Nike fly knits. And heavy metal music. Deftones. All day. The point is that's just one example of what happens when we take the principles and what we learn here and incorporate them into our lives. The first step, when we were beaten, we became willing. And my pain of staying the same in that moment was far greater than my fear of changing. I did something about it. Because the most important man in my life taught me to show the fuck up. And by showing up for you, I learned how to show up for me. And that meant that 2-for-5 fish fillets weren't something I had to do.
2-for-4.
2-for-4. Where the fuck is that, Delaware? Anyway, if you're new here, please know this. That there's not a single thing that you are or will ever go through that you will be going through for the first time. The hard-won experience is already here. It's already in your contact list in your phone. I promise. Just get through it. If you keep pushing, one day you can achieve the physique that I have. All right? Beyond your wildest dreams. But seriously, to everyone here from Central Maryland, the people I don't know, you saved my life. You saved my life. And every day of the rest of my life is a demonstration of my gratitude for that. Thanks so much.